Today on Switch to Linux, we want to talk about something going on in the government as it relates to data collection and consolidation. And since our channel talks not only about Linux, but a lot about privacy, I wanted to go ahead and talk about this from a company that we have mentioned before. Thanks for checking out this video by Switched to Linux, where we like teaching you about free and open source software, privacy, and other things related to those general fields. And today we do want to talk a little bit about the Palantir contract with the government as it relates to a recent Donald Trump executive order. And I want to talk about this because there's a lot of information going all over the place. So I read through all the right, all the left, all the central, and just a bunch of things. I want to kind of present to you this information since we've talked about Palantir a lot. And I dug in today for quite a while to see exactly how their company and their data infrastructures work. So we're going to chat about this. If you like this type of content, subscribe to the channel if you've not already done so. Leave us a like and a comment down below. And we are going to be talking about Palantir, which we have talked about in the past, particularly around the New Orleans situation, and we will talk about that briefly here. So what is Palantir? Ultimately, it is a data analytics company. Now, many people believe, and I probably have said in the past, it is a data collection company. I'm not completely certain that's true. At least not in a forward front facing way that if there is some major data leak, they can sit back and go, we had nothing to do with it, you know. So I think it might all be plausible deniability. I'm not sure, but we're going to go ahead and get into this. Ultimately, their offerings allow a client to collect, upload, and effectively what is called de-silo connected data from various sources. And data siloing is something that we need to talk about. That is the core of the circumstance. That's the core of the executive order. So data siloing is when you are utilizing a particular resource. Let's just say I have a company, and that company I have Google Analytics, and I might have a Salesforce CRM, and I might have, maybe I'm doing marketing with some other approach as well that's using their own Facebook. Let's just do Facebook Analytics Tracker in there as well. So now I have at least three sources of specific data. They're all separate from each other, and they really can't talk. So what Palantir has done is created a system that allows you to tie nearly every one of your data silos together in order to create a single resource with guided permissions to see exactly which systems you can have. Now, at the core of this, according to them, and we'll look at their blog post in a moment here, but according to them, they don't actually collect any data themselves. I asked myself, do they centrally pool data? And the answer apparently is no, until we have evidence to the contrary. We'll go ahead and take them at their word. I could not find an evidence of a data leak, although I did find a minor, I don't really want to call it a full leak, but it was an issue where an organization had a piece of data leak elsewhere inside their organization that wasn't supposed to have that. We'll talk about that. But let's go ahead and chat real quick about them. I just want to highlight a few things from the Wikipedia article here. Of course, this is created by Peter Thiel and Alex Karp are the two big ones. There's also Stephen Cohen and Joe Lonsdale as well. But Peter Thiel is the primary initial investor, and Alex Karp is the current CEO of the company. And so those are the two that you'll find a lot. They have done a lot of their work, as you can see here, in military three-letter agencies. They've had a lot of controversy over their work with the IDF in Europe. They've done some work in Ukraine and other places around the world. But it's kind of interesting to see what they're doing. What I kind of wanted to highlight is they have a couple different projects. The first is Palantir Gotham. This is really the one that is used in defense contracts. It's the one that's working with IDF. It's the one that was used in the very controversial predictive policing models. So in Gotham, they have it's a defense and intelligence offering. Among other things, the software supports alerts, geospatial analysis, and predictions. The downside is that the issue here here is that it's not Palantir itself, but Palantir provides them tools for them to connect whatever data points they want, including in the case of New Orleans, they were simply scraping the entire city's social media accounts, filtering it into the system to do predictive policing with. So major, major privacy violation. Was this directly Palantir itself? No, they have built themselves up to be the ultimate sleazy snake oil salesman. They sell you the amazing tool that whether you're good or bad, you have tremendous power, but they have total plausible deniability if you do something bad. This is, in fact, exactly like what happened with IBM and the Nazi Party. IBM did not sit there and catalog all of the individuals that the Nazi Party was looking to round up and execute, but they provided the tools for the Nazi Party to do that. And that is the concern that Palantir is becoming the modern day IBM, empowering governments, whether they're authoritarian or not, to be more effective at rounding people up who are in one end, either dissidents or something else. And that is the ultimate concern here. They do have Foundry, which is the one that is focused more towards commercial, civil. This is the one that we talked about a couple months ago, maybe about a year ago in UK with the United Kingdom Health Services, basically fed all client data into Palantir. They were using a system called Foundry, which is not doing the predictive policing. It's basically producing an analytics model. So effectively, you have all these different data silos with all these separate data points. You feed them all in. The software will merge everything together, connect all the points, and then give you a nice, easy grid by which you can search for anything that you're doing. So they had the UK Homes for the Ukraine program. This is when UK was taking in refugees from the Ukraine war. We had in November 2023, NHS in England awarded a 7-year contract for federated data platform to access data from all systems through a single system. And that really is the offering they have is a de-siloing program that all of the different organizations within the organization as a whole, in this case, the government, can feed the data in and it can go right on up and then be easily sorted and collected. And there's some questions with that. There's Apollo, which just basically is a service system deployment as new features come out that gets deployed, nothing else. Now, the big challenges that they have here is the ability to scrape social media platforms and other things. So in 2014, they premiered Insidex, allowing them to extract customer spending and demographic information from merchants' credit card records. Effectively, the same exact tool that both Google and Facebook also have. We talked about that a while ago in the past as well. Where scraping that card, you're swiping that card. Google and Facebook get that data from the credit card company due to the deals that they have and the privacy policy you agreed with that says, oh yeah, they can share the data because, you know, you didn't read it. You just swipe, oh, I just got a new fancy credit card. Read all that stuff. I'm not reading all that stuff. Let me just go buy a coffee or something. Or even worse, let's put DoorDash on 4 easy payments. You know. So they have an artificial intelligence platform. They demonstrate its use in war where military operators could deploy operations, receive responses via an AI chatbot. How wonderful. Citing potential risks of the generative artificial intelligence, CEO Karp said the product would not let AI independently carry out targeted operations, but would require human insight. Now, the good news about this is that Karp is a little bit skeptical on AI. He does think that there's dangers in AI, but he's not completely opposed to it. The huge downside of this is that anytime you see, well, the AI can't do it independently, it always must require human insight. Because of the nature of humans, human insight is going to turn into a rubber stamp and the AI bot is going to start killing people with the rubber stamp of the person. And then now, of course, you have a low-level fall guy. We got rid of that guy. He failed to do his task. We fired him. And then they throw in another low-level fall guy for the next guy that the AI decides to unscrupulously murder. You know, that's kind of the problem here. When you start saying the AI cannot make the decisions, it must be human oversight. Human oversight becomes a rubber stamp because of the inherent laziness of the human beings. Okay, that tends to happen, unfortunately, unless there's like serious consequences. But if you just set up a fall man, you know, until the lead, like the total commander of the entire place is ultimately responsible for what that low-level guy does with the automated AI, we got problems. Anyway, now they're getting into the agentic AI. We talked about this before. Agentic AI is where you are empowering the AI to do specific tasks. So they say the AI agents can interact with the digital representation of a company's business known as an ontology. This lets the models access the organization's documents and other external resources. I think that's all I had highlighted from the Wikipedia article. Now, I had to ask this question, is the data centralized? And according to the company's blog post, it would appear it's probably not centralized. So they say here it's been described as a secretive company. There is some truth to this. And they explain this as saying it's because they've worked with defense contracts and other places with sworn secrecy. Okay, we can give a little bit of grace in that spot. Now that we serve clients in a wider range of sectors, we have an opportunity to be more open. This is particularly too for sectors like healthcare, where Palantir software is used to process personal data. Common misconceptions recur, particularly around the assumption that Palantir can use or transfer client data for its own purposes, or can join data from different clients together to sell on. This is not how we operate and has never been. So in other words, they are not, do we have down here? Yeah, we do not collect, store, or sell personal data. They basically say they are not a data broker. We never facilitate the movement of data between clients, except where those specific clients have entered into an agreement with each other. Okay, so we have a couple problems here. The first is, yes, they're not out there creating the massive databases themselves. This is what gives them that plausible deniability, that IBM-like a plausible deniability. It wasn't us. It was that dude with the funny mustache, okay? And so what they're doing here is they're themselves not collecting, storing, or selling, but they are releasing the tools enabling social media scrapers, credit card monitoring, and things. It's just up to the client to push the button or turn it on or turn it off as they need. He says they never facilitate the movement of data between clients except where they have specific agreements. That really is the thing that allows us, because by you downloading the free Gas Buddy app to find the cheapest gas by 3 cents wherever your location is, you are opting in to take all of this data and share it with a company that ultimately shares it with LexisNexis, who then shares it with your insurance company, causing your rates to go up because you hard break every once in a while when that crazy light in your town turns red spontaneously. Okay. So these are those types of data. Again, it gives them that plausible deniability. But the other factor here is, while they do not have a central database on their servers, the data is oftentimes held on their servers. It doesn't have to be. They have ways that you can deploy their software and services locally. So a client could locally have that data, in which case none of it is on Palantir servers at all. But what most companies might opt to do, unless they're specifically under serious HIPAA or other serious contractual obligations for privacy, they're probably going to do the cheaper and easier option, and they're going to host it with Palantir servers. So it's on Palantir servers. So we go back to that issue. Do we trust the Palantir employees? Some of those we probably can. Some of those we probably can't. Hopefully they're paying enough to tell the scammer to go, you know, jump off a lake or something. All right. So they say, we license the software organizations who receive secure and unique instances of our platforms to which conduct their own data. We do not and cannot reuse or transfer our clients' data for our own purposes. So until we actually see evidence to the contrary, we are going to take Palantir at their word that they're not actually collecting any data themselves, transmitting data themselves. Now, when we have evidence of that, I will absolutely probably be one of the first ones you hear talking about it. I mean, guys, I brought you information about ByteDance, like, 7 years ago, before anybody knew TikTok existed, okay? I talked about Palantir years ago, probably before most people watching this video has ever seen anything about it, okay? So if I see actual evidence of them goofing up and actually sharing data between clients, oh, I'm going to report on that. The only instance I found was this one. It was the FBI, who was a client of Palantir, and a glitch allowed an unauthorized access to private data. Now, what this means is that the FBI has an instance so everybody in the FBI can log into the Palantir account. Okay. But when you're talking about something like a specific investigation or a specific warrant, only the case agents and the people analyzing those cases should have permission to it. What happened is data got uploaded, particularly information on a particular investigation and a particular warrant. Data got input into the system in a way that allowed case agents that were not working on that case to be able to view it. So it was still within the FBI. So that's the good news. The bad news is this is simply the default for Palantir's program. The default allows everybody in the organization to see what anybody in the organization uploads. And so when Palantir's question, like, it wasn't us, it was them. They didn't configure it right. And so that's not particularly comforting, right? So unauthorized employees were able to access private information for more than a year. Data recovered from Griffith's Facebook and Twitter accounts, which were obtained through a federal search warrant in March of 2020, was accessed on Palantir for more than a year by at least four FBI employees, all of whom work outside New York and were not investigating the case. Federal prosecutors in Manhattan determined FBI employees, three analysts, and an agent were able to view material because it was entered through Palantir through the program's default settings. And when data is loaded into the platform, the default settings is to permit access to the data to other FBI personnel unless otherwise accessed by it. So in a statement, Palantir's spokesperson said the error was caused by the FBI. Once again, like IBM, plausible deniability. We just gave him the tool, Your Honor. It's the guy with the funny mustache did the damage. That's the concern I have with Palantir, is that everything that they do is providing tools which can be powerfully useful or powerfully abusive, but they have washed their hands of any responsibility that anything that happens. So this kind of brings us back to what happened with the with New Orleans. So Palantir, this, and we reported on this years ago when this came out. This article is from 2018. And I specifically went back to see articles from Palantir before the last year, because there's so much right now, positive or negative, about the Palantir situation with Donald Trump. I wanted to get a fresher perspective before most people knew this company existed. And I actually remember covering this article on our weekly news roundup around the time this came out. So they were secretly, New Orleans Police Department was secretly using Palantir without city council or any other oversight, literally because a person at Palantir was a buddy with the mayor and said, let's try and do it. Palantir wrote it off as being a charitable contribution, but really what they were doing is testing their predictive policing models. And the big downside of this one is that their approach utilized, unlike the FBI, which said, you know, we got the Twitter and the Facebook information by a warrant, they collected pretty much the whole city's social media posts without any warrants. They fed it all into a system, and then they fed all of that data into a predictive policing model. This is a really long article. I'm just going to highlight a few things in it. Like I said, about like 8 years ago, we covered this article when it first came out. According to Ronald Serapis, the department chief at the time, of one of the tools used by the police department to identify the gang members like 3NG and 39ers came from the Silicon Valley company Palantir. The software was used secretively by the New Orleans Police Department that traced programs' ties to other gang members, outlined criminal histories, analyzed social media, and predicted the likelihood of individuals would commit violence or become a victim. So they're basically using it to spy on the gangs. Program began in 2012 as a partnership between New Orleans Police and Palantir Technologies, a data mining firm founded with seed money from the CIA's venture capital firm. So great, now we have the CIA in on it to scrape our social media posts without warrant to feed into a giant data analytics company to do predictive policing. What could possibly go wrong? All right, so predictive policing technology has proven highly controversial wherever implemented. In New Orleans, the program escaped public notice because Palantir established it as a philanthropic relationship to the city through the Mayor Mitch Landrieu's signature NOLA for Life program. Was that New Orleans? I have no idea what the LA would stand for. But anyway, it goes in and it just kind of describes down here what they were doing. They were just utilizing this. Of course, predictive policing was controversial everywhere because it tends to be extraordinarily biased. It tends to get things wrong, particularly for using facial recognition systems. Some people criticize it because it tends to put police officers in predominantly black neighborhoods. Maybe that's because the system says, hey, this is where the crime is. Maybe it's because it's racist. I don't know. The problem with all of these systems is that they are inherently biased based on the programs and the data you feed it. That's the problem with AI. AI is inherently negative because it feeds on the publicly available data, and bad news is what sells in America today. And so that's why AI is trained on a negative data, not positive data. So this just goes into what they were doing. They were just going back and collecting a whole bunch of data and doing things like that. And so in the New Orleans situation, we see Palantir working secretly, doing fairly or very unconstitutional things without any public oversight, all to test their predictive policing models. That is really where the issue with Palantir is that they tend to work a little bit outside the law. They tend to work in secrecy, and they tend to provide powerful tools without any form of accountability. It wasn't us. We just gave him the tools, the guy with the funny mustaches who did it. This is what brings us to Donald Trump. So Donald Trump, March 20th, signed an executive order stopping waste, fraud, and abuse by eliminating information silos. So remember, the information silos is all the different places have information. In the case of the government, it's the Social Security Administration has information on you and your Social Security and the income you should be getting, the payouts, things like that. You have Medicaid, Medicare. They'll have information on your health records and on your payouts and on your insurance bills. You have the IRS. They have information on your tax returns, things like that. And there's a few other organizations that are involved. These are all separate data silos. So what the purpose of his executive order is removing the unnecessary barriers to the federal employees accessing government data and promoting interagency data sharing are important steps toward eliminating bureaucratic duplication and inefficiency while enhancing the government's ability to detect overpayments and fraud. So ultimately, just take off those I hate Donald Trump glasses for a brief moment. His intention here is to say, we're going to prevent you from going to Medicaid and then some other office to get double payments, or we're going to prevent you from going to some new government program for a subsidy because we can see you're already in getting something over here, which might disqualify you, make it easier. This comes on the foot of a ton of abuse, particularly of that COVID money. Billions of dollars was lost on COVID money to fraudulent organizations who used the money to buy mansions. It literally happened. I'm not pulling out the articles to show you that. You can do a little bit of research on your own. That actually happened. So the good news is they want to facilitate the sharing. In fact, the best example I can come up with this is the medical, the digital medical databases. I completely disagree with the digital medical databases because I just don't want a central data base of all the medical records. I think it's rife for abuse. It's rife for hackers. It's problematic. But the reason they do it is it prevents the little dirtbag scummy guy over here from going to six different doctors for his addictive painkillers. And the six different doctors don't know he's going to everybody. So if all six doctors upload the data into the central database, each doctor then can see how frequently this guy came to any doctor for it. That's the reason. It's good. It's a laudable goal. However, there are problems and it is rife for abuse. And that's the problem I see here is that this is going to fix a problem with that oversharing, but it becomes oversharing that is too rife for abuse. Having full prompt access to all unclassified agency data, records, software systems, and information systems is what he wants to do. And he says this is for identification and elimination of waste, fraud, and abuse. So it is a laudable goal. It is a decent purpose. So how do you get rid of all of these data silos? You need to use an application like Palantir. So you use Palantir, and to be clear, remember we have Palantir Gotham, which is used for predictive policing and military strategies. You have Palantir Foundry, which is used for data analytics and looking at different data sources. To be sure, they are indeed using your Palantir Foundry. They are not using, they're not building a giant war database against people. I know everybody on the left has been saying, you're just doing this. It's the same company using all this for war and killing people. No, there's a couple different models. Maybe one of the things Palantir should do is split into two companies. We're about killing people. We're about saving people. Kind of the marketing for that one company gets a little bit muddled now, doesn't it? Yeah, that's the problem. We just don't want to get involved in that. And the reality here is that the tremendous laudable goal he has here has terrifying downstream consequences, because it's not him. I don't fear Donald Trump's going to use this badly against the American citizens. Is he going to use it badly against the illegal ones? Possibly. They're here illegally. Okay. But that being said, I'm not fearing this. But as I've always said, if you follow my channel, and I am a Bible-believing Christian, I think the mark of the beast is going to be technological. I think the right is going to make the mark of the beast technology, and I think the left is going to use it. Yes. Both the left and the right are going to be involved in the terrible end times that devastate humanity, okay? The right's going to make it, the left's going to use it. That's what I think's going to happen. I could be wrong about that, but the fact of the matter is, this is kind of lining itself up with the Book of Revelation. I'm going to get off this topic now, lest I lose you for religious purposes, because we want to get deeper into this from the societal purposes. So this article here was very well balanced. They got some really good viewpoints from both sides of the aisle, and I really did enjoy this article. Destroy the Ring: Trump's Palantir deal alarms Hill Republicans. By the way, we didn't mention Palantir's name comes from those all-seeing orbs from Lord of the Rings, if that wasn't clear enough. Gotham, of course. Let's have vigilante justice over Batman City. There's questions here, folks. There's questions here. All right. So the Republican privacy advocates in Congress are criticizing the Trump administration's work with the tech giant Palantir to analyze what could become a massive tool of government data on Americans. And that's the problem. This is what Edward Snowden talked about. It's not that we necessarily mistrust the government now. I know 50% of our country completely mistrusts the government right now. 50% of our country thinks the government's doing a pretty good job. Those are pretty close to even the polls done by the left-leaning organizations. About half the country thinks Donald Trump's doing a good job. Half the country doesn't. Half the country thinks Congress doing, I don't know. I don't think half the country thinks Congress or Senate's doing a good job. I don't know. But the point here is that even if we do not mistrust the government now, as Edward Snowden says, a turnkey government, we are in a political environment where the usage of such available tools and data can be used in a heartbeat. He calls this a turnkey government. So enter the key every 4 years, turn it, something else pops out the other side. And if there is a massive database sitting here, if the people on the right don't abuse it, the people on the left will. If the people on the left don't abuse it, the people on the right will. I'm not going to quibble over the semantics about is it going to be Donald Trump or whatever left-leaning administration comes after him, because I don't think we're going to see a right-leaning administration again. It's for 50, 60 years, it's been left, then right, then left, then right, then left, then right, then left, then right. You know, we went from, in my life, we went, I guess Reagan to Bush might have been the only example. Do I have that one right? I don't follow politics that closely in the early years of my life, but then we went from Bush, then we went to Clinton, and we went then we went to back to Bush, then we went to Obama, then we went to Trump, then we went to see, it's been going left, then right, then left, then right, then left. Somebody's gonna abuse this crap if it's here. That's the point. Whether it's the right or whether it's the left, somebody's gonna abuse this crap. So let's just not create it. So the goal, of course, as we said, is to remove the unnecessary barriers to data consolidation, removing those data silos. And he says in here, Palantir had expanded the reach of its artificial intelligence product within the U.S. government, potentially building an interagency database that would merge huge sets of government information on Americans, from medical data, from Medicare, Medicaid, down to financial, IRS, and et cetera. And so the challenge we have is where Silicon Valley sees a chance to make government more efficient, Some lawmakers in both parties see it as an invitation for misuse. And this is the fundamental problem. The tool that increases radical efficiency is the tool that is used to create abuse. That is what happens. Okay, so when we're looking at everything going on here, when we have more efficiency, and this is why the government is in itself inefficient, and I kind of want an inefficient government, okay? I don't really want to be a lot of progress, because any form of progress is always bad. Let's just maintain a status quo. Maybe look at one or two little things, stuff like that, but I'll tell you, you get a whole unified administration and house and judiciary, you got weird stuff going on, guys, right? And this is a streamlining of government resources, which makes not only the identification of fraud and abuse easy, it also makes abuse easier. And I'm far more concerned with the abuse than I am concerned about the fraud. So, okay, we got to identify the fraud before we give out all this money. Just stop giving out money. Collect less taxes. Let the churches and the nonprofit organizations in the city take care of the people in the city. Give us more money from our taxes. We will donate more money and we will be able to help more people. That is generally what happens. Yeah, there's problems with that too, but I'd rather have a community up structure than a government down structure. And community up's always better. Warren Davidson, Republican from Ohio, says when you start combining all the data points on an individual one into a database, it will really create a digital ID, and its power that history says will eventually be abused. Yes. And he does say down here, the only good thing to do with the one ring to rule them all is to destroy the ring. Yes. That is where my statement happens to be. I stand with that. So the concern here, and there always will be, if you had the wrong people in government, there are protections to make sure is there protections to make sure privacy is protected. And this is why you have the inefficient government. This is actually why the bureaucratic data silo is there to begin with. Because before before Medicaid needs to do something, there's a long process to get data from another organization. There is a reason for that. It's to make sure things are moving slowly. Now, it has a side effect that when someone really truly needs something, when someone generally really truly needs help, it does cause problems. But this is why government should be that position anyway. That person should be able to go to a local church or a local organization, a local nonprofit, and get the help that they need. They are being strangled out because taxes are going up so much, because the government will solve our problems. And the problem is the government's never going to solve our problems. It's bureaucratic, it's inefficient, and if it's all done at a local level, the local level's going to take care of it. If the church is being crazy and abusing people, A, it has a very small footprint, B, it's going to be sniffed out by the community, and C, it'll shutter its doors, and then all those resources will go to other churches in the community with a much better reputation. That is the model for getting help. And I'm using churches there because I have a lot of work in that field. It could be the nonprofits as well. I've done a lot of work with the nonprofits as well. And this is where we had one issue, one House Republican aide who wanted anonymity to speak more candidly, said this is the first time in a while I thought, oh boy, this is really bad. And the reason is these guys are freaks with no sense of humor and a very disturbing sense of morality. And now they have all of the data. The aide said a Palantir and someone should do something. This is the CEO. This is Karp, the CEO. And this is what he had to say to a shareholders meeting just recently, February.
Palantir is here to disrupt and make the institutions we partner with the very best in the world, and when it's necessary to scare enemies and on occasion kill them. And we hope you're in favor of that. We hope you're enjoying being a partner, and we're really happy and very, very focused on what we're doing.
Yeah, I always enjoy being a part of places where we have to completely scare our enemies and at times them. So, yeah, these people are kind of crazy. But again, that plausible deniability. It's not us that did it. It's the guy with the funny mustache over there. He's the one that did it. We just gave him the tools. We told him what he should do. That guy with the funny mustache. We shouldn't have trusted that guy with the funny mustache. He did funny things. He says, this guy here, Nancy Mace, Republican South Carolina, said, I'm big on sharing data, well, I disagree with Mace on that one, but for the right purposes, as long as we're protecting people's privacy. Okay, we need some oversight into what they're doing. So for the view from the Democrats, so the same guys say, let's hear what the Democrats are saying. Democrats on both sides of Capitol are eager to work with Republicans to rein in Palantir, which is known for its secrecy and the occasional bombastic rhetoric of the leadership, i.e. that we just saw. Disrupt, make the institutions we partner with the very best in the world, and when necessary, them. So Susan Delbene, a Democrat from Washington, told them that Americans should be extremely alarmed that the Trump administration is creating a central government database with our sensitive financial, health, and personal information. True. The White House, of course, they're just focused on eliminating all those silos. I think Eleanor, isn't that new AI? We're just going to ignore what that thing has to say. It wasn't anything useful anyway. The data merging contracts are running largely under the radar. Half a dozen Republicans who have previously spoken out about civil liberties, including Mace, said this week they didn't know enough yet about the administration's database building plans with Palantir to form an opinion. That is a very good thought. So what do I think about this? Having seen all of this, obviously, and there was actually, I had one more article here, but it ended up, it was not paywalled on my computer I was reading stuff on, and it all of a sudden became paywalled. New York Times did an article, that one I'm pretty sure is paywalled, where they basically called them out and said they're just this giant data collection company, and the CEO came out and was like, no, we're not a company that collects all of your data. Come on, we just give you the tools to collect the data yourself. It's the guy with the funny mustache. He's the guy that did it. Go talk to him. So of course they are not a data they are a data analytics company. They are not a data collection company. They're not a data broker in that sense. So what is my general thought about this? Well, it boils down to a couple of different camps. Mostly it boils down to a couple of different camps as to how bad this could possibly be. If this will allow only the heads of the departments access to only information the government has for only for government legitimate purposes and only through an approval process, I'm okay with this. All right. But that's so restrictive, I don't see that happening. Okay, I would see a massive database where any, you know, pretty much it's going to start with the head of the department, but the head of the department's like, oh, I just don't have time for this. Let me go over here. And so, in fact, that's what the executive order basically had, is it wasn't anybody. It was the only person that specifically needed requirement was the head of each one of those agencies. But they are not going to want to model through this Palantir thing. They're just going to create user accounts, or worse, share their user account with everybody in their office, and then they'll all be able to get in there and use the user account and collect and do whatever they can with any form of data. They'll be able to do it without any specific checks, balances, or approvals, and that really is what the challenge is. But that also is the most streamlined, the most offline, the most cautious and the most sane way of using Palantir, and we're talking the federal government, so they're not going to do anything in a sane way. So what they're going to probably do, they are going to have a broader employee access, because we cannot possibly slow down the information. I cannot wait for the head of my department to give me the information I need, so I will have my own information. They will then augment their data with social media posts, with purchase data, and from anything outside of the government. Like, hey, we have a very simple hey, director, we have this data here, but I noticed this little toggle switch in here. If I turn this on, it's going to start scraping credit card data, and we can put the credit card data inside. We can see, what is this guy spending his money on that we're giving disability funds to? That would be devastating. It's not something from inside the government. It is an outside purchase, but the Palantir tools allows that type of data collection. Now, not to go back to Palantir as the central place, but to go back to the particular client, which in this case is the federal government, which is a problem. So, and the fundamental difference between these are simple toggle buttons, rogue defaults that we already saw with the FBI, and quite a bit of ignorance about how digital systems work. And I'm sorry, most people in this world, despite we're the most tech-savvy generation. No, we're not. This generation is a bunch of tech idiots. They don't know how to use tech. They can push a power button, and they can navigate their way through a boil down toddler-level UI to do something basic. But when it comes down to technology affluence, we are technoramuses. That is just the circumstances we have here. And so between the ignorance, the simple toggle buttons, and the fact that people are not going to want to wait on the heads of agencies, and the fact that it's so easy and so tempting to just see the social media posts and see the spending habits and see all these things from all these outside. What does Axios, what does LexisNexis have to say about this guy? How about his Experian report? Let's go ahead and see all that, because it's simple toggle switches inside the software that Palantir gives us, because we don't actually know the details of the contract with the government. Now, if there's some deep oversight, we know exactly what's in there. All those systems are completely, nobody's able to or allowed to ever turn that stuff on. And it's very, very clearly, you got to have an approval process. There's got to be a form, and you got to wait on the head of the department. I'm a lot less concerned about the program, but that's not the way it's going to work, because that would be sane, and the government doesn't do sane things. The Palantir plan ultimately should be scrubbed. Just get rid of it. There's too much potential for data. There's too much potential for abuse. There's too many issues involved in this. We don't want this level of work inside of a system like this. That is my thought on this. Let me know your thoughts about Palantir and the whole situation. Just don't devolve into a giant political debate down there. We want to talk the craziness of Palantir and what they're doing, not get involved in all the political parties and stuff like that. So please be kind in that respect. Let me know your thoughts down below. Subscribe to the channel if you've not already done so. And I hope that you enjoy switching to Linux.